Turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews in chapter number 4 in the book of Hebrews. I want to read one verse of scripture tonight and preach not an expository message, preach some scriptures that I hope will be a blessing to us out of that book. And don't want anybody to laugh when I give you the title of my message. But I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. And I want to read verse number 1 as our text verse for the evening. And make that more or less a springboard to get into the message on. And preach out of a statement that is made on that verse of scripture. It's made several places throughout the book of Hebrews. I do believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to debate that with you, but I believe he did. But regardless of who wrote it, we believe it to be inspired. And we believe it to be in the Word of God, canonized by the Lord, and put there in its proper perspective, right exactly where the Lord wanted it to be. But in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1, Hebrew writer said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it." Now let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the song service we've enjoyed. Thank you for the day. Thank you for our mothers and the morning hour. But Lord, it's another moment, another time, another need, another heart that's ailing tonight and afflicted and needs the help of God. I pray your blessings upon your people tonight. Give us liberty and grace in the house of God. May you speak to hearts. Speak peace to that soul tonight that may be tossed in tempest about. I ask you now to bless, Lord, as I preach, and give me the liberty and the power and the unction that I need tonight, and physical strength as well. Do what needs to be done in every heart and every life, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Those first two words in the book, in chapter number four and verse number 1, Paul said, "Let us." And I want to preach tonight on this thought of God's lettuce patch. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of lettuce that you make a salad out of, although I like that lettuce and I like salad. But I'm not talking about that kind of lettuce when I say God's lettuce patch. I'm talking about the phrase or the term that is used there, "let us." And preaching on that thought on God's lettuce patch. You know, every book in the Bible is correlated with every other book. And the Bible is a perfect whole. When God put the 66 books together and called it the Bible, it became a perfect whole. And they're perfectly, all the books of the Bible, all 66 of them are correlated together and stand together as one perfect book without a doubt. No book could be taken out without its unity and the continuity of the Bible being broken down. If you were to remove one book from the Bible, you know, some scholars say Jonah oughtn't to be there. I've heard others say other books of the Bible oughtn't to be there. If you take one book out of the Bible, then you're going to break down the unity of the message that God has conveyed to mankind. And when you break down that message, we don't have a full revelation of Christ nor of God. And not having that full revelation, it leaves us somewhat in the dark. But God doesn't leave us in the dark. I'm glad He gave us a full revelation of Himself and in the Word of God, and puts us in the perfect, glorious light of the children of God. However, every book of the Bible has its own peculiar and particular message. A message wherein stress is placed on some special call of God. In other words, every book in the Bible has got a particular point or a particular message that God is trying to convey to people. If you look at the book of Jude, Jude talks about earnestly contending for the faith. And there's no doubt that the apostates are dealt with in that book. It's a book concerning the apostates and the people of God. And there's other books I can mention. Ephesians is the Joshua in the New Testament. It talks about that Spirit-filled life that we're to live. And there's other books that have their own particular and peculiar message that God is trying to convey to His people. And the book of Hebrews is a book of many great messages. It encompasses a wide range of truth. However, to us as a believer, there stands out one central and great plea. And this plea runs throughout the whole epistle of Hebrews. This plea is God's call to faithfulness to the faith. If you look through this book, you'll find that over and over again, there are statements made here where Paul is dealing with you and I being faithful to the faith. He doesn't want us backing up or letting down or falling out or falling away. On the contrary, He wants us going forward, pressing on toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't see any place in the Bible where God gives us any room and very little slack. But He calls upon us to earnestly contend for the faith and be faithful to that faith that was once delivered under the saints of God, is what Paul said in the book of Jude. He urges us, there's a great urgency here for us to hold fast without wavering in the faith. God doesn't want us to waver. God wants us to stand strong. You know, a lot of people are tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I'm amazed today at the different doctrines that's being floated about throughout Christendom. We sat and eat by a couple going on the way to pay our taxes this past week. A very cordial couple, friendly couple. But they had some things, you could tell that they were the people that went to church in Branson on Sundays and thought they'd been in the house of God. And go to a quartet convention and think they'd been to church services. And they were good people. In fact, they went to church and went to church faithfully. But they had some misconceptions of the Word of God. There's no doubt about that. But Paul wants us to be strong in the faith and to stand without wavering, not to be tossed about, but to be faithful to that faith that He has once delivered unto you and I. Paul uses the term, let us. And I didn't count them. And I'm not going to count them tonight. I've got seven that I'm going to be speaking on, and I'll just very briefly be able to touch on them. There's at least three more that I'll mention. So there's many times that phrase, that two little word term or phrase, whatever you want to call it, is used in the book of Hebrews. Let us. And I want to say right off of the bat now, I'm going to mention some scripture tonight that to some may seem just a little odd. There are some scriptures I'm going to mention tonight that the Armenians would love to take and run with them and convince you and I that they're speaking about falling from grace. But in every occasion, Brother Paul uses that word, let us. Let us. And he's referring not only to us, but when he said let us, I believe it's an all-inclusive word meaning him also. We're going to take a look at this little word, let us. Now, here in chapter 4 and verse number 1, illustrates this great truth. And it begins in this chapter with, let us therefore fear. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And that comes from chapter number 3. It's in chapter number 3 that it deals with the nation of Israel as they come up out of the land of Egypt and come to Kadesh Barnea, and the elders refuse to go in to that promised land. Now, I want to say right off of the cuff now, nowhere in these scriptures is Paul referring to lost people. It's always speaking about saved people. When he says, let us therefore fear, he's not talking about a lost man. He's talking about a saved man. Amen. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. Now, I want to say this is talking about the Canaan land rest. It's talking about that Spirit-filled life rest that we have in the Lord Jesus. Right. And he uses it here, like I said, because when Israel came up out of the house of bondage, many of them failed to go in. In fact, only those that were 20 years and under were able to go into that Canaan land, spirit-filled life, except the two elders, Caleb and Joshua. They're the ones that brought back the truth about being able to overtake the land and overcome the those giants that were in the land and to occupy the land of Canaan. And as far as I know, they're the only two elders of Israel that went and entered into that promise and into the promised land. And God had given them that promise. God had promised them that land, and yet they failed to make good on that promise that God had given them. And what Paul is saying here is saying, I don't want you to fail to make good on the promise that God has given you. And God's given us a wonderful promise, church, about the Spirit-filled life. We're to not to be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. Hey, and by the way, like Brother Gray said this morning, God withholds that life from no man, from no woman. If you never gained that blessed life, it's simply because you failed to lay hold of that promise that God has given you and given out. And there's all kinds of promises in that Bible that we can get there. In fact, when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, His sole purpose was to take them into the land of Canaan. And when God saved you and I, He didn't save us just to stand stagnant in our religion. He didn't save us just to stay stagnant in our spirituality. But He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And in doing so, we're going to have to lay hold of the promises of God. And if we're going to live a Spirit-filled life, we're going to have to lay hold of that promise of God concerning that life. Now, He issues here a warning. Notice what He says. He said, this warning of falling short of God's promise in verse chapter 4 and verse 1. Note, all of the elders, and I mentioned this, that left Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb entered into that Canaan land rest. The rest entered not in. Why? Because of unbelief. Now somebody said, well, they didn't have any faith. No, it didn't say they didn't have any faith. It said they entered not in because of unbelief. What was their unbelief? They did not believe that they were able to take the land. They did not believe the promise of God. That was their unbelief. Now, Paul doesn't want you and I to fall into that same mold that they fell into. He wants us to lay hold on that promise of God, amen, and be believing. And that's right. And be faithful to the faith that God's given us, believing God for the promises, the blessings, and the truths, the commandments of the Word of God, and enter into that promised land, that Canaan land rest that God has promised us. Now, you know, there's similar warnings that sounds out this truth running throughout the Word of God. For instance, and I believe this is in concerning one of the churches in the book of Revelation. I didn't take time to write it down. But the writer said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In other words, he's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about holding fast that which God has given you. Yeah. You know, Paul talks about in Hebrews that there are some things that we can let slip. He doesn't want us to let anything slip. He wants us to hold on. Amen. Now, we're not holding on to salvation, but we are holding on to the promises of God and trusting God to fulfill them in our life. God will fulfill His promises in our life if we will just let Him do that. But an evil heart of unbelief will never lay hold of the promises of God in anything. They entered not in because of their unbelief. You can just write that down. There's a warning there that we're given in that particular book. And then also, it says, the Scripture says this, for we are made partakers of Christ. Now, I know the Armenians is going to love this one. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, somebody said, see there, preacher? We've got to hold that steadfast. We've got to hold out and endure unto the end. That's not what Paul said. Paul said that we've got to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, that's a warning to us. You've got to hold that confidence. Amen. And not to let that confidence slip. Now, and he's simply saying this, that you cannot live a slipshod Christian life. Anybody that thinks they can, they've never been to Calvary. When I say slipshod, I'm talking about people that have the idea they can live any way they want to live after they've made a profession of faith. Church, it's time that we realize that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. We belong to the Lord, and the Lord has a power and the ability to do with us as God pleases. We belong to Him. Amen. Them three automobiles are sitting over there at the house, they belong to me. The bank don't hold any mortgage on them. I can do with them about whatever I want to do with them. If I want to take them down and shove them off in the creek, I guess I can. They belong to me. And what the Lord is saying, I can do with you as I please because you belong to me. I bought you. But get this, He'll never mistreat you in no way. He'll always give you His very best if you will leave the choice with Him. I will assure you of that. Now, notice another verse. And issues the same warning. The writer said, Christ as a son, and this is in the book of Hebrews, Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. That's just again telling us, you cannot go back on God. Israel could not go back into the land of Egypt, and neither can you and I. Will you go back out into the world? I'll tell you, a man who makes a profession of faith then goes back out into the world and can live in the world and stay in the world, never get right with God, never come back to Christ or never come back to earth. I'm going to tell you what that man's problem is. He has never been born again. I'm going to tell you, I don't always shout, but I do have a little joy. And sometimes I will rejoice. In fact, if some of you let me, I'd rejoice just a little bit tonight. I can rejoice because I've been to Calvary. Have been born again of the Spirit of God. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now, the second lettuce patch I want us to look into is here in the same chapter. It's in verse number 11. Where Brother Paul said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Again, I want to say this is not salvation rest. But hear what I'm getting ready to say. It is a call to receive God's best. You realize God wants you and I to have the very best that He has for us. He doesn't want us. He's not going to let us come out on the short end of the stick. God's ways are the best ways. His ways, by the way, are past finding out. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our way. But I tell you, He wants us to have the very best that He can possibly give us. Now, who could deny that? He's already given us the best that heaven had. He's given us the Lord Jesus. You cannot get any better than that. Jesus, I'm telling you, is the best of the best of the best. Amen. Amen. There's no one can compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in love. They can't compare with Him in mercy and grace. They can't compare with Him in His power. They can't compare to Him in His holiness. He is not to be compared with any, because there's not any on the same level as Him. How are you going to compare Jesus to anybody? There's nobody to compare Him with. We're all so much lower than what He is. He's so much higher than what we are. I'm glad that we couldn't get up, but He came down. We couldn't reach Him, but He reached us. Amen. We couldn't reach up and get a hold of God, so God came down and took a hold of us. Amen right there. That's right. Nobody can compare with Him. He's already given us the best that He had, so why would He withhold the best blessings that He has in this life for you and I? Amen. And one of those blessings is the Canaan land rest and the Spirit-filled life that God has for you and I. And there's Baptists that don't even understand what it means to be Spirit-filled. To be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. That's right. So it's a call to receive God's best. It's folly to think that because we are under the blood and are sealed by the Spirit unto the day of redemption, that we therefore can live as we want and yet have God's best. You can't live the way you want and have God's blessed. You can't. Now I'm just going to say some small things. And I hope you don't get mad at me. But you cannot knowingly sin and have God's best. I don't care what sin it may be. It may be a very small little sin. And if you know that it's sin, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, them little four-letter potty words sometimes, they're sin. I believe them four-inch Marlboros, I believe it's sin. You know why? Because this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're not to defile the temple of the Holy Ghost. There are some other things. I'm going to make some of you mad right here. I don't play cards. I don't play cards. I'm going to tell you, you get a hold of you. There've been a whole lot of guys that went down the drain playing five card stud, folks. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't care what Matthew Henry said about drinking wine. It's wrong. I don't care what he said.
That's right.
Amen. Wine, drinking strong drink and liquor is a sin.
Amen.
And I mean in the smallest amount. I don't want anybody to put booze in my lips. I don't have any desire for a drink of liquor. I hate the stuff. We don't preach against it enough. Old Billy Sunday used to rear back and blow his lungs out preaching against liquor. Amen. There's not much said about it these days. You know why? We've softened up. We've let it get into every community we've got, every little small town, every little 7-Eleven store you come to, every Ideal Market. They all sell liquor today. They sell booze today. And nobody thinks anything about it at all. Well, I'm going to say, maybe it's time we thought something about it. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Christians should not live in a slipshod way. They should give all diligence to their Christian life. Faithfulness to the faith. We should give all diligence to our Christian life. In other words, we oughtn't to fall slack or fall behind in any of the gifts or the virtues that Christ has promised us. You understand what I'm saying? We need to be diligent and given all diligence. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. Go right on down the line. And the last one I believe he talked about is brotherly love. Is that right? Now you're adding these things. You're adding these things. And he said to give all diligence to it. And he said, the man that does these things shall never fall. That's what the Bible said. So that's telling me that if you don't do those things, there is a possibility of you falling. Not falling out of grace and losing your salvation, but stumbling and falling along the way. And losing God's best that He has for you in this life. Amen. God wants us to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us and run with patience that race that is set before us. Lay it aside. Amen. Have God's best for us. They should earnestly study to show themselves approved unto God. God doesn't only want us to read the Bible. He wants us to study the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it's hard work to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Need to study that book. There's treasures in your sack.
Amen.
But you got to open the mouth, stick your hand down in there, dig around a little bit, and pull it out. You'll find it if you'll do that.
Amen.
I'll assure you, it's in there.
Amen.
There's some treasures for all of us to have. Now, remember those who had shared with David. Remember the David? Those that had shared with him in his poverty while David was in isolation in the cave, while he was under persecution from Saul. These are the ones, when he became king, they didn't have a thing then. But when David was made king, he kept right inside that little group that he had with him from the very beginning, is the very ones that he put in key positions in his rule and his reign over the land of Israel. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying the Lord will do the same thing with you and I.
Amen.
That little band of saints that God has, that those few that have laid aside every way and every sin, those that have diligently kept the faith, those that have sought the Lord, and those that have searched the Scriptures, and those that have walked with the Holy Spirit, they're in poverty of life in this life, are going to be the very ones that are going to rule and reign with Him in that life. And does He not say that if you've been faithful over a few cities, I'll make you ruler over many? And just like Brother Joel said this morning, the man with five talents, He gave him five more. Now, when he came, when did He give him them? When He come. The guy that had two and gained two, what gave him when he come? But that guy that buried him, the one, he wound up with goose egg. Nothing. Doesn't say that the man was lost. He was a servant, just like the other two. He just gained nothing in Christ. Now I'm telling you, it's that little circle of believers that will be diligent in their faith toward Christ, that God will bless in His second advent. And if we've been faithful in a few things, He will make us ruler over many things. Amen. That's right. And we will rule and reign with Him. That's right. We're pure persecuted with Him. We'll rule and reign with Him. Amen right there. Now, then there's another let us. We find in chapter 4, again in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Another let us pass. Another lettuce patch. Let us. Therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, notice the purpose of this lettuce patch. It is that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, that tells me right off the cuff, if we're going to obtain mercy, and find, that word find leaves with it the idea that you got to be looking. Are we looking for grace? Are we looking for mercy? Boy, I'll tell you, that is two of the most wonderful words in the Bible. Mercy and grace. Oh, how wonderful they are. Mercy delivers you between that rock and that hard spot, and it's grace that brings the power down to you to deliver you from that rock and that hard spot. God, when sin had you crushed in like this, it was grace that sent the mercy down, let you find mercy to give you an escape out of that sin, out of that captivity, and gave you the liberty that you now have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we feel our feet is slipping by the way, and that we are failing to lay hold upon that which God has set before us, let us seek help from God. Now there is a promise here in verse number 14. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Look at this. There's another let us patch. Let us hold fast our profession.
Amen.
Let us hold fast our profession. Again, he's not talking about losing your salvation.
That's right.
But he's talking about holding on to that promise that God has given us. Seeing that we have a great high priest. In other words, we don't have to live a despondent, discouraged, despairing life. And the reason we don't, because we've got a great high priest that's got mercy. And He's got grace that He can bestow upon us. How wonderful that is. We don't have to live in despair. We don't have to be distraught. We can live in victory if we want it. Oh, it's available to us. And we can because we've got a great high priest. And He's approachable. By the blood. By a new and a living way that He has consecrated by himself, and it's behind a veil. And it's been consecrated by his own blood back there. What a great God that we have. Somebody say amen right there. What a promise that we have. He's been tempted in all points as we are, yet he's without sin. Says so in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Yeah.
Now, that's another reason that should, I don't want to say motivate, I don't like that word, encourage our heart to seek him on that throne. It's simply because that he can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. I mean, he knows how we feel in our heart.
Amen.
He knows when you're broken over a wayward child. He knows when you're broken over sickness in your life. He knows when you're broken over financial problems that have caught up with you. And we all have those. Amen right there. I mean, there's all kind of problems and troubles in life. He knows when you've been betrayed by someone that you love. Oh, he knows when your heart is crushed and when it's broken, when it's overwhelmed. And when it's overwhelmed, he said, hey, when it's overwhelmed, then lead me to that rock that is higher than I. That's what the psalmist said. Amen. That's right. He knows our infirmities. He knows our frailties. He knows our failures. And he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Lord's exhortation is let us hold fast our provision. How we do that? By going to that throne of God's grace. Then there's another lettuce patch in chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principalities of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let us go on unto perfection. The word therefore in chapter number 6 is referring back and answers the questions back in chapter number 5, talking about how dull of hearing they are, and that they need milk and not strong meat, and strong meat belongs to those that by reason have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Amen.
And so there's many that are yet unskilled in the Word of God. But he said, unskilled, dull of hearing, go on unto perfection. And I'm going to tell you, I'm amazed. Now, I've said this three times, or twice at least. I won't say it again. Brother Gray mentioned this morning. He mentioned the word Christ-likeness. And I never saw this until this morning at the house. And I drew a big line from it, from one word down to another word in chapter 6 and verse 1, just exactly like it. Paul said in chapter number 5 and in verse number 9, he said, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Amen.
What about that? Who do you think that's talking about? That's talking about Christ. Well, do you think that he was sinlessly imperfect when he came into the world? That is not talking about sin.
That's right.
That is talking about maturity.
That's right.
And obedience unto God.
Yes, sir.
Not talking about sin.
Amen.
Oh no. And in chapter 6 and verse number 1, he said, therefore, leaving the principality of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on what? Unto perfection. And you know the word that I wrote down here in my Bible? Same word that Brother Gray used this morning. Christ-likeness. You want to be like Christ? Then you're going to have to get off of your stool of do-nothing and go on unto perfection. It did say go on. It didn't say back up or sit down. It said go on. That is a command throughout the Word of God, is for you and I to go on. God, heaven, and I'm not chewing at you. I'm trying to endorse you. I'm trying to encourage you to go on, motivate you a little, to read your Bible, to pray, to find God in your life and for your home and your family and your children. For the house of God, find revival for the house of God. That is a command in all the Bible. Go on. Remember, it talks about in the Psalms where Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. Turned back.
Amen.
in the day of battle. They had all they needed, and yet they turned back. Now, God wants us to be faithful to the faith, and you cannot turn back and be faithful to the faith. God wants us to be diligent. You cannot be diligent and turn back. There's no way. You know what the Lord later on, and I believe in the book of Hosea, said about Ephraim? He said, let him alone, for he's given himself over to idols.
Amen.
He that turned back, God said this, let him alone.
Amen.
Do you think that because he did that Ephraim wasn't God's child, God's people? They were.
Amen.
Don't throw a rock at me now. Amen. Now, there is another lettuce patch. Said that's going under perfection. Well, I ain't got none with this one yet. Some are yet babies in Christ. They have need of milk and not strong meat. You know, I want to illustrate this way. He said in chapter 5, some people call it babes. I like to call it babies. I believe that's what it is babies. He said, for you're yet babies and have need of milk and not strong meat.
Amen.
Now, I'll illustrate that this way. How many mothers we have in here this morning? 17, 18? Every one of you in here that's a mother can remember the day that little child of yours was born. But you know something? I'm sure from day one, you didn't want, you can take little Lindsay over there as an example. Jake told me today he called her a little bit. They don't want her to stay a little bit. No mama wants her baby to stay a baby forever. We want our children to grow, whether it be a young girl, young lady, or a young man, a baby boy or a baby girl. We want them to grow and mature physically. I'm going to tell you, God does not want us to remain babies, spiritual babies, all of our life. It's a blessing. It brings joy to the heart of God when we grow and mature. Amen. So let us. There's a lettuce patch you can dig in. Let us go on under perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God and the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and so on and so forth. And this we will do, he says, if God permits. Now, I've got at least one more here and then just mention two and I'll be done. Then there's another lettuce patch found in chapter number 10 and in verse number 23. He said, let us, chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised.
Amen.
He is faithful that promised.
Amen.
Now I want to read down through these, some of these verses. Notice with me in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Here you are. Let us, there's another lettuce patch. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that hath promised. And boy, here's the one that grabbed a hold of me in verse 24. And let us, there's three lettuce patches, right in a row, friend. And let us consider one another to love, to provoke, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and a good work.
Amen.
Now, all three of those things are simply, they simply magnify the exhortation that he gives us to stand fast in the faith that was once delivered. And the climax of all of them is that we might provoke, consider one another.
Right.
In other words, look at one another.
Amen.
Examine one another. And then provoke one another unto love, and unto good works. And you know, I looked that word provoke up, and you know what it means? To stir to action or to feeling. In other words, stir somebody up. Amen. That's right. We ought to be stirring people up. Peter said, as long as he's in this tabernacle, he thought it was meet to be stirring somebody up. Now I'm going to ask them, is there anybody in here tonight that can be stirred up? Hallelujah. That's right. You all know what it means to be stirred. You know my illustration of that. You churn milk long enough, it becomes what comes to the surface is butter. And that butter is the best, the richest part of that milk, is that butter. And that's what he's saying here. Stir up, he talks about in 1 Peter. If you'll stir a Christian, I'll tell you, the best that is in you will come to the surface. And the best that is in you is the Lord Jesus Christ. The best that is in me is Christ. We don't want folks to see us. We want people to see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If all you ever see is Gary Hall standing up here, you've missed what I've tried to give you. You've missed what I've tried to preach. I want you to see Jesus. That's who I want you to see. I want you to pattern your life after Him. I'll fail. I'm human just like you. And I'll fail. I'll falter just like you. But I'm going to tell you, somebody that has never stumbled, he's never failed, he's never faltered. His name's Jesus. Amen. He carried that cross all the way up Calvary's Hill and laid his life down that you and I might be saved. He urges us with such a tender call to draw near. That's tender and endearing. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. And we need to pillow our heads in Christ's breast, just exactly like John did in the upper room. We need to approach Him in full assurance. You don't have to be afraid to approach God. Esther feared to extend that golden, feared to enter into King Ahasuerus. For if he didn't extend that golden scepter, she'd die. But she said, if I perish, I perish. And she went in. He extended out that golden scepter. She knew right then she had everything going her way. She's going to get everything she wanted. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you get to that veil, and stick your head in just a little bit, and he lays that golden scepter out there, what he's telling you is, come on in. You've got what you're asking me for. I will give you what you're petitioning me for. Isn't that a blessed God that would do us that way?
Yes, sir.
That would grant us the desires of our heart. If we'll only petition Him for it, God is faithful to give us those petitions that we ask of Him. So you can approach Him with full assurance. You don't have to be afraid of God. There's a lot of folks that are afraid. Now, I know it said in my first letters passed, to let us therefore fear. Let's talk about a godly, reverential fear of God. Let us fear not God, but let us fear of not making good on the promise of God. That's right. For this cause, we need to help others as well. Then I'm not going to preach these, just mention them. But in chapter number 12 and verse 1, another letter passage you could dig around in all day long if you wanted to. Chapter 12, and seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. There's another lettuce patch. Lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And how do you run that race? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Who for the joy that was before Him, that's why we're to run. That's why we're to be diligent. That's why we're to press on. That's why we're not to back up and back down. It's for the joy that awaits us. Folks, there is a joy on the other side, friend. Amen. Amen. That you could not compare the troubles and the trials of this life to. The joy over there far outweighs anything that you'll go through in a negative way on this earth below. I'll assure you of that. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised and ashamed, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can you carry your cross and endure it for the joy? No cross, no crown.
Amen.
It's that simple. There's a cross for everyone.
Amen.
For every child of God. There's a cross. Then I'm not going to preach this, but he said in chapter number 13 and verse 13, let us go unto him without the camp. Jesus was crucified
Amen.
Outside the camp. And we're to go unto him outside the camp. Now, I could preach on that a while, but I'm not going to. I preach till I'm tired, and you are too. But God's lettuce patch. Make some good patches of lettuce in there.
Amen.
Make some good salad out of them.
Amen.
You dig around in them for a little while. You'll find them a good blessing to your heart and to your life. Let's all stand together, please.